This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We welcome in the host of Candlestick Chronicles. By the way, happy birthday to Kyle's co-host over at the Candlestick Chronicles, our buddy, Chris Biederman.
It's my guy.
Indeed.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
And welcome, Kyle.
Well, I was along.
I was alerted to Chris's birthday by a interesting exchange between Kyle and Chris on social media.
Why?
As predictably, it made me laugh. So I was like, oh, got to make sure we show our guy Chris some love.
Was it a Josh Hart, De'Aaron Fox exchange?
It wasn't that weird. But it was, did you see the clip of Stephen A. Smith, by the way? Talking about.
I read the quote.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
Was he talking about?
The subject at hand. Yeah.
Okay.
Take a look, y'all.
I believe Kyle said, happy birthday to a person I work with, Chris yes. Biederman. And Chris's response was, of all of the birthday wishes I got, this was one of them.
We're which really is, sincere.
It's the perfect
one of them.
It's the perfect Kyle Chris exchange right there.
Well, on the Candlestick Chronicles, it's coming out Friday. We recorded that last night. I wished him an actual happy birthday and did the whole birthday thing.
Did you sing to him?
I didn't feel like I needed to do it in another platform.
You could have sang to him. You said he could have made a video, posted it on Twitter of you singing happy birthday. Stevie Wonder style. It didn't have to be Marilyn Monroe style.
I don't think there's any person on the planet I would do that for.
I agree.
See, the birthday things have
gotten.
Well,
there are people on the planet I would do it for, but you know.
The birthday things have gotten really out of hand now with social media because it's like you've got to do it on Twitter and then like Instagram.
No, that's a lot of pressure.
And then text and then call. Like, it's a lot. It
gives me anxiety.
And then, like this happens like more with women than it does with guys, but yeah. Like you have to share every birthday wish story. So you're scrolling through your IG stories and you come across your friend who is their birthday and they got 75 stories because they're just reposting every happy birthday that they got. And it's like, all right, man, I just don't want to live like this anymore. Like this, look, you're
going to
get a text. If you get a text, that's the end of it. You're not getting anything else. You get one.
Can I say something?
You may.
Birthdays. Overrated. I'm ready to say that.
That's a bad take.
It's a bad take.
It's not overrated.
Birthdays are.
It's just a fixed spot in the calendar at this point to be like, hey, I'm going to hang out with my friends on this day or around this day.
Who I don't see the other 364 days.
No, that's not true because usually the people I hang out with on my birthday are the people I see
sometimes,
normally.
Sometimes it is.
But maybe for your birthday you do something different than you don't do all those other days.
Maybe.
Just depends on what type of lifestyle you live because
And I would on my birthday I would go champagne and campaign.
You would, yes, right. That's true. You're also one of those guys who birthdays might last a week.
Oh, for sure.
A month. Certainly,
I'm about 2 weeks.
No, I was gonna say it's the week leading in and the week coming out. That's.
And this year is gonna be even crazier because my birthday is obviously on the 22nd, and I got to do something on the birthday, but the next Saturday is Crawford Spence. And that fight party might couple as another birthday party. I'm just saying.
That checks out. The week leading in and the week The week coming out.
It'll be the week after. And usually the week after. So we'll talk sports in a second. But usually the week after my birthday would either be some type of basketball tournament or a family reunion. So what would happen is, oh, yeah, my birthday was last week. I'm with my people now. We got to go out because that's how it usually would go. So that's how it would be 2 weeks.
I love when you do that, by the way. We'll talk sports in a second because it's such a Danny in San Francisco thing where Danny used to say
1,000%
he used to say
the same thing.
Hey, if you guys are going to like talk about wrestling or, you know, talk about music, make sure that you mention, hey, coming up. And that's Kenny saying, like, all right, we're going to talk about my birthday. We'll talk about sports in a second. And I always take that. I think you do it seriously, but I take it as a total tongue-in-cheek nod to our man Danny in San Francisco.
Shout out to Danny in San Francisco.
Did he ever do the thing to you guys where you would talk about something for legitimately like 2 to 3 minutes, and then he'd talk to you guys and be like, my buddy was listening, and he was wondering why they were talking about wrestling for 14 minutes.
He never.
What? That, first of all, you're lying.
Yeah, you're we're definitely your lying. Yeah.
We're your friends.
No, I don't think he ever did that with us. I don't think he ever did that. He gave us a lot. He left us alone pretty quickly. Like he gave us some guidance, some ideas. But then he just let us rock.
To this day, I will not tell you the score of a Giants game.
Which is just the funniest thing in the world. Because if you're watching baseball or listening to baseball at like 2:30 on a Thursday, you know that it's on. It's not like Kenny goes, oh, it's 6-3 Giants. And, oh, crap, I have to turn it now. I completely forgot. If you care that much, if you care that much about baseball, you already knew.
Exactly.
You already knew. Who you got tonight? Final start in 3 hours. Who you got?
I think the Nuggets are going to roll in game one.
Mm-hmm. Nuggets, by the way, haven't lost in Denver since March.
Damn.
Yeah, I just think there's going to be this. I understand the Heat and not picking against them and all of the things they have accomplished. I don't want to take away from that because I respect it, and I think they can give the Nuggets a series. But I think game one is going to be this in case you forgot type of performance from the Nuggets. And there's just going to, and Miami will have their adjustments, and Miami's going to, I think, win some games in this series and it'll be good. But I think game one is very much going to be a feel it out game for the Heat. And I think it's going to not go well for them.
Yeah, man. I say it with all the respect in the world for what Miami's accomplished. I think it's Denver in five. I keep saying it. I think Jokic poses some problems that they haven't faced in these playoffs just yet. The home record and the way they've played at home is going to be an issue for Miami to overcome. And I just think, much like the Lakers series, I just thought Denver was better, man. And I think they have some things that Miami won't be able to figure out in time.
I agree. They can dribble.
Oh.
That's step one. Oh.
Did you see that mashup of Jaylen Brown?
Oh, yeah.
I think that was just game seven. And they were like, yeah, well, our plan is always to force him to go left. And I thought they were like taking clips from the regular season. It was so many clips. I was like, this can't be just one game. Oof.
I saw the clip of Kendrick Perkins, too. And someone said, this is Jaylen Brown. It was Kendrick Perkins like trying to do this like dribbling routine. He's like, it's Jaylen Brown in there.
That's cold, man. They need to leave Jaylen alone.
The unbelievable thing about Boston is going into the finals last year, I thought they were a better team than Golden State. But my big question was, who's going to dribble? Like, can they dribble? And they couldn't. And that was a huge problem for them. And then they get Malcolm Brogdon. It's like, all right, the Celtics can dribble now. And then Malcolm Brogdon was a non-factor. And Jaylen Brown still cannot dribble. And it was an issue for them. Wow. So the fact that the Nuggets can put the ball on the floor and move the ball and get it to the most dominant player in the league right now, I like Kenny said, that's problems that Miami has not had to face yet.
Did you I'll frame the question like this. We'll go full PTI style. Big deal, little deal, no deal. Bob Myers walking away from the Golden State Warriors.
Something between a big and little deal, a medium deal.
Okay, medium deal. We'll accept
that. Can I go there?
You can.
Yeah, it's definitely a medium deal. And the fact that Joe Lacob, at first I was leaning toward little deal, but the fact that Joe Lacob is very clearly a little bit shook by this. And he made the comment when he first went up at Bob Myers' press conference, he made the comment that he's a very competitive, Joe Lacob is a very competitive person. And he doesn't understand why Bob's walking away. It's not something he would do. He doesn't understand it. Da 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 da. And then was like, but it's not my place to understand. it was like taking shots at him and he's sitting right there. And that, I thought, signaled that he was not ready. He thought that he was going to be able to throw, I don't know what number, 15, 20 million a year at Bob. And Myers is going to be like, great. Can't wait. Let's go compete. And Bob's just exhausted.
Well, he threw ownership at him, didn't he?
Yeah, that's reported. They offered him an ownership stake. And Bob's just, I don't think his heart's into it. And that's what he said. You have to be 1,000% in to do this job properly. And he's not. So, I mean, whether it's Kirk Lacob or Mike Dunleavy Jr. or whoever, I mean, you got to give Joe Lacob the benefit of the doubt that he's going to make the right move. But at the same time, there's a lot of things that Bob Myers did in terms of kind of keeping that organization together that I don't know if Kirk Lacob or Mike Dunleavy Jr. are going to have that type of cachet.
And it's funny that you bring that up with Lacob because, he's a competitive dude, a little cocky, a little arrogant. Mm-hmm. And what we saw at that press conference, like a moment like that, and even like the awkward humor that I got a kick out of when he was like, I'm going to work Bob till June 30th. And Bob was like,
Bob's whatever, face. Sir. He looked at the reporters and was like, do you see this? You see what I deal with?
So I
saw, looked at him like, this is why I'm leaving.
Yes. You hear this guy?
I say all that to say, obviously, he didn't like keep Joe away because Joe was still around. But Bob was the perfect middleman buffer between Joe and Joe rubbing the players the wrong way with that type of energy. And now that that's not there, that's a situation to look out for. Because, like I said, I don't think Joe Lacob's like this bad guy or anything, but he can rub you the wrong way. You know, if you get, exposed to too much of him talking or whatever the case may be. And that some people might not want to deal with that, when it gets down to contract time or, end of the season, like, I'd rather just go somewhere else. And we'll see if maybe he can dial it back or the person that's there now in Bob's spot can be as effective as it seems Bob Myers was that whole time.
I think Bob Myers is going to wind up back with Golden State as like an advisor of some kind. Or he's just kind of around. But I also don't know if he would do that in the post Draymond, Clay, and Steph era. So who knows? But
I feel like that's all it boils down to. Really, more Steph than anyone else. But I think it does boil down to that core. Bob Myers wanted that Monty Williams money. He didn't even know it. he wanted that Monty Williams money before it was Monty Williams money.
Right. I like Monty Williams a lot, but what?
Yeah. Bob texts Joe Lacob when that story broke, like, see?
See, okay, so here's the thing. Here was my thing on Monty Williams. Monty Williams was not going to go to to Detroit without the bag.
Yeah.
That he got. And if you're Detroit, you have Cade Cunningham and Jalen Duren and James Wiseman, and you're going to have another high pick this year. It's really clear that they're trying to build a foundation here with really talented players. And I think getting a good coach is just so important to moving that talent in the right direction. Where if you get the wrong guy, you're derailing 3-4 years of these guys' careers and you're upsetting the foundation you're trying to build. So maybe Monty Williams doesn't get them to a title sometime in the next decade. But if he can get that group of players into like contention, where they're just battling for the 8 seed, the 6 seed, trying to stay out of the play-in, and then they move on to somebody different, that would make the investment well worth it.
We talked about
it. So it makes sense to me.
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday. Detroit, sneaky, terrible franchise. We got they haven't won a playoff game since 2007, I think it was. They've only had three appearances since then, and they've all been first round sweeps. I mean, this is a franchise that's searching. You know, they're searching to get back to some type of relevancy. Yeah. And I like you, Kyle, I don't think I would have made that move. I wouldn't have made that investment in probably any coach.
Hmm.
But if you're Detroit and you're Troy Reaver and you're that owner and you really believe in Monty Williams, then he almost doesn't have a price, right? Like, if you believe this is the guy that's going to – and I'm like you, he doesn't have to win a championship. Get us into the playoffs consistently, win a round or two, and we'll take it from there. If you believe he's the guy that can get you there – and you have the money, it's not going against the cap like we've talked about. Pay it. It's whatever.
Yep.
Yeah, that's my thing. It doesn't affect the cap if you really believe he's the guy, and clearly they do.
Mm-hmm.
Go for it. Just stay the course. Like, let this play out. Hopefully Monty's into it. Monty might have had, you know, a month in Cancun on his mind, and that's completely changed now. Yeah. So how they take care of this moving forward certainly will be interesting. All right, where do you stand on and I do want to transition to the 49ers, but where do you stand on Phoenix? Because this was a conversation we were having earlier. Obviously, that coaching position is still vacant, and we've heard a variety of different reasons why it might still be vacant. But we were talking about the roster and how, you know, it really started with the conversation about the Denver Nuggets and how the Nuggets, mm-hmm. you know, they've gotten to this point of playing for an NBA championship because they really stayed the course. Through, you know, the hiccups of Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray and criticisms of Michael Malone and Nikola Jokic and all of that, they have gotten to this point where Jokic is the best player in the league, Michael Malone is one of the best coaches in the league, and now they're playing for an NBA championship. Phoenix, it felt like, was on course for that same, you know, potential recognition, that same style of thing, but they aborted quick and went the Kevin Durant direction. I understand why you do it. It's Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
But then you make another drastic change in moving on from Monty Williams. And now I just look at it like, what can I reasonably expect from this franchise next season?
They're definitely hiring Doc Rivers, right?
It absolutely feels like they're hiring Doc Rivers.
Yeah, because Matt Ishbia
which is going to do nothing for Doc Rivers, by the way.
It looks like Ishbia just wants to make these headlining moves. And Doc Rivers is probably the best headlining move that they can make, or the most headlining move they can make. But I don't know what they do to get any better.
Mm.
Like you were laying out, you traded for Kevin Durant, and you have Chris Paul, whose contract is probably immovable at this point. Is somebody trading for Chris Paul?
I've
heard some scenarios where it could, but it's.
I think they would. I just think his contract's really weird too. Like, you can cut him, but you'd still get saddled with $15 million. Mm-hmm. So it's mm-hmm. almost like, again, it's not my money. Just pay the extra $15 million and have him around. Next season is the real question. Like, mm-hmm. the following season is the real question. But this year, to me, it makes sense to have him on the roster.
Yeah, and if you're going to do that, I just don't know how they get that significantly better.
Mm.
And is that enough in the West? Like, it clearly wasn't against Denver. It barely was against the Clippers. Against a shorthanded Clippers, mind you.
I feel like it's enough during the regular season. And
yeah.
I think once they get to the playoffs, I think that's where they'll have problems.
Yeah, I think so too. Unless they get, you know, a couple of vet minimum type of guys who come in and make a more significant impact than we're expecting. But as far as this core group of guys goes, I'm just kind of out.
Dawned on me. Could they use HB?
Yeah, you could probably play some four.
Like, I don't know what they could, I don't know that they could possibly pay him.
Right.
But right. It just like, what well, I'm, yeah. I'm like running through their roster. Like, oh, okay. Harrison makes sense.
Starting four. You know, stretch four,
mm-hmm.
And have him and KD, you know, kind of depending on the matchups,
mm-hmm.
play that 3-4 spot. Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting.
Harrison Barnes is a perfect player for a team like that.
Mm.
Like, he's overqualified for the role that he's going to be in,
mm-hmm.
but he's going to help make, he would help make a team like Phoenix significantly better. Whereas with Sacramento, I don't know that the role that he's in is going to ever get Sacramento where they want to go.
Yeah. I got you. I always feel the need to say this. He played 82 games this year.
Yeah.
I don't want to shade Harrison Barnes. I like Harrison Barnes. I think he's a good player. Yeah. No. I just wonder what his impact is.
No, I got you. Yeah.
In terms of his role at this point.
Yeah. Phoenix wouldn't ask him to do a lot, and the Kings need him to do a little more.
Yeah. Perfect way of putting it.
Yep.
The quarterback conversation in San Francisco is all over the place. OTAs are underway. Brock Purdy's throwing the football. Mm. Trey Lance is taking, first team reps. What are we doing? Are we playing three quarterbacks this year? Is Kyle Shanahan
at the same time
the offensive genius? Is he going to be the first coach to institute a three quarterback system?
Why not? It's all on the table, baby. No, I don't know, man. It's just the OTA stuff. Look, the Niners quarterback situation is not that complicated. Brock Purdy's going to start. They're saying that to anybody with ears. Brock Purdy is QB1. He's going to start. They think he's spectacular. Franchise QB. That's what that is. Whether you believe that or I believe that or the players believe, whatever, it doesn't matter. The decision makers in the 49ers building believe that.
But isn't the caveat, what if Brock Purdy doesn't play week one?
No, totally. And that's a separate deal.
But what I'm saying is, okay, I'll rephrase that. I apologize. Can Brock Purdy, if that's the case in those offices, can Brock Purdy lose the job?
Not if he's healthy. And his injury is obviously where all of this becomes cloudy.
But that's what I mean. If Brock Purdy isn't, and let's say, okay, they're confident Brock Purdy's going to be ready to play football in week five. So he misses the first 4 weeks. But Trey Lance has a really good first 4 weeks.
4-0.
That I don't know, man.
Get inside Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch's head and tell me what's going on here.
In that scenario, if they're winning four games, it means a road game at Pittsburgh, a road game against LA, a home game against the Giants,
and then a
home game against the Cardinals.
Yeah, that does not sound like an impressive four-game stretch at all. But kudos to you for having the schedule memorized on June 1st.
That's why he's
that's spectacular.
I've written it down so many times. But yeah, so if he wins those four games and their offense is scoring 40 a game and he's completing 70% of his throws and he's 10 touchdowns and one interception, then yeah, they probably keep him in there because that's the plan, or that was the plan.
Mm-hmm.
But realistically, is he going to go do that? Probably not.
No.
Maybe he goes 4-0, but how good is it going to look? How good is he going to look? Does he improve between week one and week four? And does that week four win, is it just super dominant and he's awesome and the Niners offense looks like it hit a new level? Okay, then maybe there's a conversation. But if whichever quarterback it is, Trey Lance or Sam Darnold, if they're struggling through those first 4 weeks, but the Niners happen to be 4-0, no, the job is going to be Brock's.
Yeah, I kind of think so too. And it's crazy because I really like Trey Lance. I really believe in what he could be. And I think he's a good quarterback. Like when we saw him play, I think he's fine. Like I know people can probably nitpick something. Oh, he doesn't do this well, but he's okay. He's a young guy. He's learning the position. He's fine. But I just said, when we were talking to Sarah Hodges, I was like, take Trey Lance's first four games of his career and Brock Purdy's. Damn, Brock Purdy looks so much better in his first four games than Trey Lance. And I think Brock Purdy, I was convinced really after that Seattle game, the game where he hit George Kittle. I said, nah, this dude's a real deal. Like, he's legit really good. And I think he's QB1 if he's healthy as well.
Yeah, and that makes sense. And I'm with you on Lance. I don't think you can take whatever he's done in the NFL and say, well, he was really bad on these 10 plays. Because there's also 10 plays where you can say, wow, he was really good on these 10 plays. Like, it's just kind of a mixed bag, and it's just so clear, and this is what the Niners have been saying. So anybody who talks to anybody with the team is saying, he just needs to play. But that could mean losing 3, 4, 5 games because he is figuring it out. And the Niners don't believe they have that margin for error. Mm. And so I think eventually Trey Lance is going to go to a different team and he's going to be really good once he gets his opportunity to play. But I just, the path for that to be with the 49ers is just really, really closed.
And to, and real quick to your point, Kyle, about the Niners not thinking that, I think this is the way they should be thinking. I think this is the way they are looking at it. They're done with the let's win 10 games in a row at the end of the season to get in. They know they need to be at home for an NFC Championship game. They are going to come out the gates trying to – they're trying to go 17-0. Like, they want that number one seed. It means a lot to them this year. I think they need it. And to your point, that's why I don't think they'll play around with giving Trey Lance the time that he needs.
Hmm. Yeah.
What – go ahead, sorry.
Can we slow down on the Sam Darnold stuff?
No.
It's insane. Look, man, I understand that quarterbacks sometimes get into new situations and they play better than they did in the past.
Yep.
We've seen it a lot. Alex Smith, for example, was god-awful through his first, whatever it was, 5, 6 years in San Francisco, to the point that the Niners were ready to get rid of him. But then the lockout happened and Jim Harbaugh said, hey, come back for a year. And Alex started to figure it out. But even that, he didn't reach that level of like, oh my God, this is a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Hmm. If the Niners won Super Bowls under Alex Smith, it was going to be because of their run game, which Greg Roman designed really well, and their really dominant defense. Alex Smith was just better than he used to be. He wasn't phenomenal. And so this idea that Sam Darnold is, I've seen multiple people, Mike Martz and then somebody at NFL.com, like Adam Stein or something, said that not only is Sam Darnold going to start,
come on, man,
but he's going to win the Super Bowl. And can we relax? Like, maybe. Sure. But speaking as though, oh, Sam Darnold, who's completing less than 60% of his passes in his career, and he's less than 7 yards per attempt in his career, and he has a touchdown rate and interception rate that are basically the same. Oh, he's just going to go beat Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts and or Lamar Jackson or Joe Burrow or Josh Allen. Like, pump the brakes, bro. Can we see him play a game? Can we see some preseason action before we decide that Sam Darnold is going to turn into Joe freaking Montana?
So NFL be having some wild like offseason stories, man, and like writers with their predictions. They really do.
So just so I'm clear, the ink that you're getting tomorrow is not Sam Darnold.
Oh, no, it is.
Okay, Sam Darnold, Sam Darnold tattoo coming soon to Kyle Madsen. Kyle, we appreciate you as always. For more 49ers coverage, check out Candlestick Chronicles.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.